We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Next year, we can love the draft again. This year, their first pick is the 54th pick. Our next guest said, I don't think they need to draft a wide receiver at 54. We'll talk about it now. He's the co-host of Opening Drive on SiriusXM NFL Radio, the Leave and Bengals podcast, Solomon Wilcox, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Solomon, welcome to the show.
Guys, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. How you doing today?
We're doing great, well. Man. It's funny. I think we're, you know, this has been the weirdest draft season yet because the Browns don't, you know, this is the third straight year we haven't had a first round pick. And so I kind of feel like this is the first year. I feel like it's all accumulating. This is the first year it's taken until the week of the draft to get us all kind of excited about the draft. And that's, we're not used to that. This used to be our Super Bowl, Solomon.
Well, and you found out that that the springtime is really no time to celebrate. You rather celebrate in the fall and in the winter. And you guys have now gotten a taste of what it feels like to be back in the playoff contention. You've got yourself a really wonderful general manager in Andrew Berry, who's built a great roster for the Cleveland Browns. So, you know, look, maybe you don't get to celebrate on draft day, but that's okay. You've done enough of that. You get to celebrate on Sundays.
So, well, we do like that better than celebrating in, like, mid-March in free agency. I saw the clip of you and your podcast talking about why you're not sure it makes sense for the Browns to draft a wide receiver at 54. Can you walk us through that one more time?
Well, think about what you've already done during the offseason. You pretty much have already answered those questions. I think giving up draft picks and trading for Jerry Jeudy. And Jeudy is a player that's yet to live up to his full potential. We know he can flat out play, guys. This guy can run routes. He's got the speed to get down the field. He can separate against man-to-man coverage. We saw him do all those things at Alabama. He follows in the tradition of an Amari Cooper, right? And you know what Cooper is. Now you can add Jerry Jeudy to that group, and Elijah Moore came on a little slowly last year, but you still have guys like David Bell and Cedric Tillman, who I think are more than capable now of coming into a second and third year than what any rookie can give you. We did a study with the 33rd team of the receivers taken in nine consecutive years in the first round from 2011 to 2019. It's the largest failure rate of any position a player selected in the first round. Only a 27% hit rate, the lowest of any position group of players selected in the first round who did not go on to earn a second contract with the team that drafted them. So, look, I think the Browns are set at the wide receiver position.
So if they don't take a wide receiver at pick 54, do you think that there is another need? You know, is it best player available? Is there something you think Cleveland should go after?
Well, look, a lot of people are so enamored with wide receivers, and I get it. It's the sexy position. It's the flashy position, the one that scores touchdowns. But think about Amon-Ra St. Brown. He just signed a contract to make it $30 million a year. He's getting Tyreek Hill type money. You know what round he was drafted in 2021?
Fourth rounder?
Fourth round. Yeah. Tyreek Hill, you know what round he was drafted in? Third round. It's the laws of supply and demand. Andrew Berry's a smart guy. Why do you go? It's a great demand for wide receivers, but there's a huge supply, which suggests you can get really good players at that position in any round in the draft. I'm not saying that you got to wait till the seventh round, but you don't have to use a first round pick on them, and you don't have to use your first pick in the second round on them, and not even the third round. You can address those other needs. Offensive linemen, you and I both know that's what's needed. Cleveland Browns, last year you played as many offensive linemen as any team in the NFL, to be honest with you. I think you can get a quality linebacker, and I think you can add to your defensive rotation up front. It remains to be seen what they're going to do because, look, I'm hearing on the street that they could end up making a move to get a second-round selection by dealing Greg Newsom. You guys have a glut of these really good cornerbacks, and Andrew Berry can look to pick up a draft pick by moving a player.
So I'm glad you mentioned that because you kind of led us right where we were. It's been a debate here. Given their depth, but also given their needs, do you think it makes sense for them to trade Greg Newsom for a second-round pick?
Yes, it does. And here's why, because you have three starters at corner. At that, how many corners do you actually start with on defense?
Well, I mean, you know this, Solomon. In this day and age, you're you know, so much nickel. What is it, 70% nickel? I sort of consider a nickel a starter. I'm not sure about you.
Well, I think you do, but guess what you don't do? You don't pay nickel corners the top dollar. You know, think about L'Jarius Sneed. Are you going $20 million a year? You don't pay nickel corners $20 million a year. He's due a new contract. You know, he's on the clock. He's next. Is he better than Martin Emerson Jr.? You can argue whether he is or isn't, but you could say they're both equal, right? So if you have a glut at one position, it usually means it's a trade commodity. Do you need more? Yeah, but you trust in your ability to continue to develop the cornerbacks on your team, but you don't feel like you have to overpay your nickel corner top of the market. Greg Newsom doesn't see himself as a guy who's going to take less than market value. So are you going to pay him $20 million a year? I think that's the question. $15 million a year, that's the question. Probably not. And if you're not, you don't wait till the middle of the year to trade him. You get yourself a second-round pick in trading day one of the draft or day two if you can. I'm not saying he's expendable. I like him as a player. But just giving you the idea of the thought process that goes around it, it's about do you pay him top dollar because he is due a contract extension. Or can you go ahead and get the second pick? And now Martin Emerson Jr. and Denzel Ward are your two starting cornerbacks, and you move another developing player into the nickel position.
Solomon Wilcott's co-host of Opening Drive on SiriusXM NFL Radio and the Believe in Bengals podcast on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So big picture. You know, the Browns' emphasis this offseason was bringing back most of the team that went to the playoffs last year. Do you look at this team and see a team that could push for a top four seed, or do you see a team that's more of a wild card team, or do you see a team that is more likely to be sitting on the outside looking in?
I don't really think on those levels. I think this is a league where you got to just get in the playoffs, especially when you're in a division like the AFC North. You love to win the division, but if you don't, you don't have to worry about that. Bengals a couple of years ago went to the Super Bowl and they went in as a wild card team. They didn't win the division that year. And so, you know, I think you've got to really just put yourself in a position to get into the tournament. And then you got to come ready to ball. The Browns, for all intents and purposes, had to play with five different quarterbacks last year, still got into the playoffs, and then you got beat by a team that just was happy to be at the party. And so that goes to tell you that it's gotten – once you get into the playoffs, it's a reset. It doesn't have anything to do with did you win your division or how many games you accumulated to get there. If that counted towards advancement in the playoffs, then I would say, okay, cool, but it doesn't. Because you could show up and get the brakes beat off of you by an upstart team that's got a bunch of rookies on it like the Dallas Cowboys did against the Green Bay Packers. So it's about getting into the playoffs. And playing in the AFC North, you guys know this. It's nothing guaranteed. But when you get into the playoffs, man, you got to dig down even deeper. You got to begin to play a more physical game. You got to be smarter in what you do. And you don't get a second chance. That's why I love the NFL. This isn't the best 3 out of 5 or the best 4 out of 7. If you don't bring it, man, your fans are going to be sitting up in the stands crying. The Cowboys know what that feels like. The Buffalo Bills, as good as they have been, winning 4 straight division titles over the last 4 years. They know what that feels like. And now I think there's an expectation in Cleveland to not just get there, but to do something when you do get in. And you guys know that's what it's really all about right now.
So with that being said, with 90% of the offseason out of the way here, who do you think right now has claim to being the best team in the AFC North?
I don't see any team with the advantage. There's not a one. The Ravens lost several starters from their team this year. Their defense coordinator's gone. They got to put those pieces back together. They still did not prove that their offense can elevate in those critical games against teams like the Chiefs and become a more passing-oriented offense. They tried it and failed, right? They couldn't score enough points. Even though the defense pissed a shutout in the second half, they couldn't get the ball into the end zone. And they were the class of the entire AFC last year. So it doesn't matter. I think these four teams, the AFC North, that's why it is the best division in football. Man, look, you can't pick one team over the other. The team that's in last place 1 year can be in first place the very next year. Team that's in first place 1 year can be in last place. I think this is a team that could put four teams in the playoff, guys. I really do. They're that good. So even if you pick one over the other, all it is words on a radio show.
Solomon, one of the other big things outside of the Cleveland Browns, and you know we just saw it earlier today, the Pittsburgh Steelers declined to pick up the fifth-year option on Justin Fields. And so that puts him in a contract year heading into his first year in Pittsburgh. You think the Steelers made a right decision?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I'm inclined to believe that maybe they should have picked up the first-year option on Justin Fields. It would have been about $25.7 million. So I think if you're smart, if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm going to him and offering him maybe a 1 or 2 year deal. Cause I think he's right for Arthur Smith's offense. He may say, no, I'm going to hit the market after this year. And then he's got to roll the dice on what that looks like. But if I'm the Steelers, I'm probably think about it. They're going to pay him almost $30 million just for 1 year in 2025. If they picked up the fifth year option, what if you gave him 30 over two, which is an average of $15 million a year, for 2025 and 2026. Maybe he takes it, maybe he doesn't. But I think at some point in time, he's got to realize he's still a developmental project. And so maybe you just say, look, I'll take the guaranteed two-year deal. It's less than if they would have picked up the fifth-year option because you're getting him over 2 years plus the 2024 season. So I don't think the ship has sailed on that. I do think the Steelers can still offer him a contract that would keep him on the team beyond 2024.
Solomon, it's always great to talk with you, man, especially as we are so close to the NFL draft. I know you got the Believe in Bengals podcast, but we still believe in you, and we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Hey, appreciate you guys, too. Keep up the great work. Thank you
so much. Thanks, Solomon Wilcots there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Solomon Wilcots just moments ago giving us his thoughts on the Browns' draft positioning here. Do you take a wide receiver at 54? And then he drops the bombshell that he's hearing that could still be something that happens in this draft, Greg Newsome for a second-round pick. And obviously it matters where in the second round you are. I mean, if you could get a top 40 pick for Greg Newsome, I don't know how that – I mean, listen, I'm being a hypocrite here. I'm already on PFF doing their mock simulator because it got me so jazzed up, the idea of getting that high of a pick for a nice player. But I don't think a core piece – like –
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I'm just, full disclosure, it got me hyped about the draft. But like at the same point, if you're not going to re-sign Greg Newsom, a top 40 pick or a top 45 pick in this draft, alongside having 54 and 80, that goes a long way for making up for the fact you don't have a first-round pick for the third straight year.
It does. The one thing, I get the market for nickel cornerbacks, third corners, is not as big as it is for the outside position. It's so wild, man. I think the nickel position is more valuable sometimes than the guys that can play the outside press coverage because this is from experience. I think it's a tougher position to play. If you have a really good one, that's why I'm a little hesitant to talk about trading Greg Newsom. But again, what's the value?
So can I tell you just what you said? What makes me hesitant to trade Greg is the versatility. He can play inside and out. And he's not as good on the outside as he is. I mean, I think he is one of the better nickel corners in the NFL. I do. Like, if you said he's the best nickel corner in the NFL, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I also agree with Solomon, you don't pay nickel corners. I mean, like, because
you want to... Eventually, they're going to, I'm telling you.
Well, but not the way you're going to pay an outside corner like Denzel, or an outside corner like Stephon Gilmore when he was defensive player of the year.
That's fair.
But, like, if we just say nickel corner, is Greg Newsom replaceable? I think the answer is yes. Because I think Cam Mitchell showed you last year that he can play that at a high level. I think they struck gold with him. We've talked so much about DeJuan Jones. We've kind of forgot about Cam. Cam was overexposed early in the season, and by the end of the season, I thought he was one of their better corners. So on the inside, I'm pretty confident you've got the guy if you want to move on from Newsom. The problem is it's the outside. I know Browns fans have a lot to say about Greg playing on the outside. Guys, not many corners can go from the nickel to bumping outside and still be, at the very least, a league average corner on the outside. He's elite on the inside, and he is at least average, if not better, on the outside.
Yeah, like Martin Emerson's not going to play inside.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's too lanky. I don't think he's got the quick twitch to do it. He's a great outside corner because you can get up on the line of scrimmage, and he's got those long arms that can get on to a wide receiver. Newsom is, again, I think his body type is built for that position, and I like him. I think it really gives Jim Schwartz a lot of versatility when you've got a guy that can sort of lock down that slot position.
Now, I think some of the teams that might make sense, a team like Arizona, which has, I want to say, three picks in the top 35, that might be a team, and they have something like double-digit picks. That might be a team. And they have cap space coming up, and Monty Ossenfurt is kind of trying to get that team off the ground. I think they're going to try and win this year because they're staying with Kyler. And who knows? They could actually trade down out of four and pick up even more top picks. So I think Arizona makes it. Green Bay has kind of been a spot where Green Bay needs corners, and they just need talent. And they've got, I think it's the Jets' second-round pick this year. So, like, that's a spot. For me, a second-round pick, and especially if it's a high second-round pick, like, the first pick of the second round is Carolina. You're not getting that. Carolina needs every pick that they have because they're massively rebuilding. But, like, once you get into the Washington, Arizona, like, anything from there to about pick 45 is really interesting to me. Honestly, any second-round pick, but the later you get into the second round, I'd also want a fourth rounder. Because I think the value in Greg Newsom, I think that versatility has massive value in the NFL. I don't know, like, value is not one for one, but, like, I think people looked at the Carlton Davis deal going from Tampa to Detroit, and it was basically Carlton Davis and 2 sixths for a third rounder. That's not one for one because Carlton hasn't been consistently good. Greg has been against all odds. Greg is seen as a starting cornerback in the NFL. And that versatility, I think, is what might get you multiple. And that's, to me, that's what I'm looking for. Give me a second and a fourth, and to me, it's a no-brainer. Anything less than that, and I really have to think about it. But if you can pick up, and it's not just because I love the draft, and it's not just because because here's the thing. You then have a second and a fourth. You've got three picks in the top 100. Mm-hmm. So effectively, I know it's not a, you still don't have a first round pick. It's like you have a first round pick because you have three picks in the top 100. And then I know the strength of this draft is a top 100. When you get into that fourth round, when you get into the first 20 picks of the fourth round, you have a chance to get a guy that you still have that day one value on that might be able to be like a DeJuan Jones. Like a guy, like honestly, I thought, oh my gosh, who's the other guy? It's not MJ. It's another player that I really love that has turned out from the, like, who's a fourth rounder. My brain's not working right now. But the point is, like, you have a chance at four top 100 players if you get a nice second round pick and an early fourth. Like that to me is, I said it's a no-brainer. Do you agree with that?
I still have to know what it is. I don't know.
So if it's like the 35th pick, I'm just saying the Arizona thing because that, again, that's just been in my brain lately. The 35th pick and the 110th pick.
I think about it.
Wow. Just you'll think about it? Nothing else?
I don't know, man. You know what Greg Newsom is, and you drafted him.
So you're actually where I usually am on stuff like this.
Like, I hate giving away players that are good for an unknown commodity.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And I think in the NFL, we've gone too far in one direction with this. Like, well, I'll just, like the, oh, what Tennessee did. I don't want to pay A.J. Brown what he wants to be paid, so I'm going to trade him to Philly for the 17th pick and take Treylon Burks. That, on face value, you took a guy that was worth a first rounder and turned him into a first round wide receiver that matched his skill set. The problem is Treylon Burks is booty cheeks. So I see what you're saying. This to me is not so much, I mean, yes, you want to get A1 value for Greg Newsom. Here's the other thing. You're trying to turn a strength, and this is why I think it makes sense. I don't think they just have three quality starting corners. I think the one thing I trust Andrew Berry to draft definitively is cornerbacks. He got Greg Newsom. He got MJ Emerson. I love Cam Mitchell. Like, dude, I don't know if this guy can draft a wide receiver to save his life. I don't know if, and I'm a little skeptical about his work on the defensive line, which is where I care. He still hasn't drafted, outside of DeJuan, a definitive, like, hey, this guy's going to be your starting center for a decade. But when it comes to corners, that's the place he's hit. And turning that strength into a surplus around the rest of your roster, because I think ideally, if you get four picks in the top 100 and you actually hit on these guys, you won't have to live and die by the one-year contracts. This is like, I think the way Andrew's building the roster is totally valid, by the way. Like, he's doing it, I don't want to say he's piecemealing it, but when you're relying on one-year contracts every year, there is an element of risk. You know, when you're relying on 35-year-old guys, when, again, I'd prefer those guys. Like, dude, that's how Arizona with Bruce Arians was able to win a loaded NFC West and be a playoff team, despite having Carson Palmer at maybe not the best part of his career on the team, as they just signed everybody else's castoffs who were 33-year-old guys who still had some ball to play. Mm. That's not a recipe for a 10-year window. And so this draft is way more important than I think some Browns fans might realize, and I think then Browns media is giving it credit for. It's not just, I want to get good and horny about the draft. Although, I will be honest with you, I want to get good and horny about the NFL draft. It's not just that, though. It is about the ability to restock. And I think Andrew, the last 2 years, has proven where these picks would come is his sweet spot. Again, we don't have a huge foundation of work that this guy is going to hit all on his first-round picks, and it's going to look great. But we do know. He got MJ Emerson in the third round, right? Mm-hmm. He got DeJuan Jones in the fourth round. He got Grant Delpit in the second round. That's turned around. Oh, my God. Oh, JOK in the second round. Like, this is where I trust him to draft, and I trust him to replace Greg Newsom adequately. Because here's the thing. I think you also probably spend a top one of your first five or six picks. If you trade Greg, one of your first picks in the top five rounds probably has to be a corner as well.
Yes, and you have to hope that you can hit on that player just like you did Emerson.
This got me going, man.
Hey, listen, here's the one thing I would say about this proposition Nick, Ooh. Is that it does Lurid. Give a little juice to Friday night or tomorrow night.
So he said it could happen Thursday night, which I think is really interesting. And again, that doesn't mean it's going to be for a first round. I think he set the value at like a second rounder for Greg Newsom. And if we think back to Andrew Berry said, we see value in the cornerback position and having three starting corners. I'm not going to give that away. So I'm not expecting just a trade to make a trade. I think one of the things I like and respect most about Andrew is, and I think actually it's very akin to what the Guardians do. The Guardians set a price on a player and say, this is our price. And if you don't pay it, that's cool. We don't need to trade with you. And it pisses other teams off in baseball. It does. And people grouse all the time. Oh, they're unrealistic. It's like, yeah, dude, it's their property. They get to decide what they give it up for. I think Berry does that as well as any GM in the NFL. Howie Roseman does a great job, too. Of like, hey, this is the value. Mm-hmm. This is what you're going to pay. And if you don't, cool, we don't need it. So some of this is just, I trust Andrew that if he makes the trade, he's getting max value for Greg Newsom.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.